Morning Road. So we are going to keep reminding each other that we want to be an amening church. Amen?
Amen.
It's okay to respond to God. And I listen to the worship and I go, you know what? We're not even supposed to hide our worship from the world. And we end up accidentally hiding all of this great worship in the walls of the church. And that's why Jesus never did church in a church. We're supposed to be a light on a hill. And I want to figure out a way eventually to let the community see that worship. Would you be really opposed to us doing a service on the front of the property one Sunday morning? Because really, and that's it's a change for some of us. We're not supposed to hide our worship for God. And so, man, I'm trying to think of a way to roll up these walls or something. Pray about it. We are a culture that loves before and after pictures. I want to show you some before and after pictures. We love it. And so we see it in all kinds of things we do. You might watch a show on changing cars, and so you see the change, the before and after. We see this one. We have shows on choppers. There's the before and the after, and some of you guys are like, yeah, here we go. There's more shows than that. Of course, the home shows, right? We love these, the before and after. And then I didn't want to show like any people. I don't know him personally, so I was like, we can show him. There's scary before and after. There's scary ones. This is kind of scary. Yes, that is from it. There's more scary. Let's show you one more. This one really I had a hard time with. I love Kenny Rogers. I love him, but he doesn't look like Kenny anymore. How many of you watch reality TV and you're willing to admit it? There are literally over 4,000 reality TV shows. Now, what's interesting about a lot of them, I'm just going to name a few. Extreme Makeover, Home Edition, Dr. 90210, Trading Spaces, Pimp My Ride, Style by Jury, Celebrity Fit Club, The Biggest Loser, Extreme Celebrity Detox, The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, Project Runway, American Idol, American Chopper, American Inventor, American Celebrity Rap Superstar, Shark Tank, Monster Garage. It goes on and on, down to The Naked Chef, and of course, The Vanilla Ice Project. I mean, come on. You know you're a hidden Vanilla Ice fan. Here's what they have in common. There's a before where they put in the effort, and then there's an unveiling. We're talking about significance, where you can put in the effort to become significant, and then there will be an unveiling in the kingdom of God. That's what we're going to see in Acts chapter 9 this morning. It's pretty incredible stuff. From 2004 to 2012, the ABC Hit One, which was Extreme Makeover Home Edition, coined a phrase about a bus. What was the phrase? Yeah. So in a sense, what you could say this morning, we'll put in the effort, we're going to move the bus, and see some things that will be unveiled in the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we're going to do this morning. Let's read in Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to read just two verses. It's 31 and 32. If you want a Bible, it will be here up here on the screens, but you can raise your hand right now and someone will bring you a Bible as well. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. The church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. Meanwhile, Peter traveled from place to place, and he came down to visit the believers in the town of Lydda. Let's pray. It's really easy for me as we pray to pick a church that I think we should pray for. Somebody give me a name of a church that I should pray for this morning. Say it. Visalia Naz and First Baptist and Warehouse. God, we lift these up to you. It dawned on me, why should I choose the churches every Sunday morning and every Sunday night that we should pray for? God, we pray for these three right now. Amen? And we lift them up. God, if we're going to be anything, help us support your bride. We don't need to be about cutting it down. We don't need to be about worrying about every little thing someone doesn't do like us or someone's going to take someone of us or whatever it is, God. We should be worried about not lifting up the bride of Christ. We pray for them. And Lord, we also pray that we would understand the work we need to put in for spiritual significance so that you can unveil more of your glory. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Now listen, let me just mention something about these two verses we just read. This will be for like you Bible scholars or people like history in here. This will be fun for you for a second. This and what we're going to study is during a time of peace. It's not often that we see a time of peace in the Bible and great things are going to come out of peace. Even in our own lives, the Bible tends to lean towards sharpening and the fire and the struggles to really grow us. But there's a peace going on in the early church. And just one chapter before, Saul converted over to who? Paul. So you have that change, which was kind of nice because Acts chapter 8 says he was the leader of wreaking havoc on the early church. And the havoc is a word that comes from like a wolf or a lion wreaking havoc on a village. So you have Saul is now Paul. Now, he began to stir up the Jews and all the Romans, though, so that got kind of bad. But he happens to leave, and you can verify this in Galatians 1. He happens to leave right about this time. He's gone. And what we see is that Paul leaves. So now that's gone, too. There's not that clash between the old Reich and this new convert to Christianity. In fact, it says in Galatians that 10 of the apostles were gone, too. Only James and Peter were hanging out at this point. So things were settling down a little bit. Now, there was a bigger reason that they had peace during this time. The Jews, the Jewish culture, was enraged in a battle at this point with the Roman Empire. There was an emperor, and tell me if you know his nickname. There was an emperor named Gaius Julius Caesar Augustus Germanicus. If your mom names you that, you know, you need to get on her case a little bit. Anybody know who that was, his nickname? Close. It was Caligula. So they didn't want to say like that long stuff. So they just said, let's just call him Caligula. Anyways, Caligula wanted a picture of himself, an image of himself in the temple, in the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. And he wanted to look like the Roman supreme god of Jupiter. So it was really whacked. I mean, he's like, put him in there. And he gets the governor of Syria named Petronius, who he had just made governor, by the way, to take two Roman legions, march on Jerusalem, along with a whole contingency from Syria, and try to put this Roman Jupiter supreme god that's him and it's Jupiter in the temple. And we can see in historical writings that what happens is Jews from all over the known world, they're abandoning their homes, they're abandoning their cities, their villages, some are leaving their families to just go find these two legions that are on their way to Jerusalem and meet them and throw their bodies in front. It says that they're weeping, they're lamenting, they're crying out. The whole Jewish culture is risking death, torture, imprisonment. Why? Because they want to stop Caligula from putting his image. Don't you wish Christians were a little bit like that? Sometimes I look at other religions and I go, man, couldn't we be just a little bit more? I don't remember throwing my body down in front of an emperor at any point, you know? But anyways, that's what was going on. So the Jews and the Romans had no reason to bother anymore this little community of Christians. And there was a time of peace. You ever walked up to somebody and said, how you're doing? And they say something like, man, I'm doing so good, it's embarrassing. Anybody ever, don't you guys, I love those phrases. I always wish I could remember them, and I remembered one right there. You know, it's not often in peace that we realize we can become very significant for God. Whether you're struggling or you're going through a good season is a good time, too, to become significant for God. So let's check this out. Let's look at how the kingdom of God is unveiled through us. The first thing I see is in verse 31. This is kind of the before, and then we'll get to the after. When I intensify my spiritual devotion for God, the kingdom of God is revealed. Verse 31 says, as the believers lived in fear for the Lord. Now, this word fear here is not a cowering. It has nothing to do with trembling before the Lord and hiding in a corner for him like he is some sort of little boy up in the heavens with a magnifying glass, you know, burning little ants on the earth, and we're kind of like, we're afraid. That it's not that at all. You're not supposed to be a believer that's sitting there trembling, afraid of God. 1 John 4:18 says, such love has no fear. If you know God, there's no fear, because perfect love expels fear. Romans 8:15, you have not received a spirit that makes you afraid. The word that Peter's talking about is a temper of reverential awe, just absolute awe. The word actually means that daily I would be adding to my devotion, my intensity, and my allegiance to God. Do you feel yourself doing that? We've talked about ways to do that. Remember last week we started the series? You can see them online if you want to. We could be more intense by having a heartfelt ambition and a restless urgency and leaving an eternal mark and willingness to play a part. Remember we talked about how you can be a wooden spoon or you can be a golden spoon, and God gives you that choice if you will work on yourself. But the real question is do you want to be? If you ask yourself this question in a closet all by yourself, do I even want to be intense for God? Is that even important to me? And only you know the answer to that. I know what the answer was most of my life. The answer was no. And so Peter is bringing us to this question, and you can see it better in Matthew 5:6. It says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after God. There are people in this room, you've driven 3.5 hours to the coast to get a bowl of clam chowder at Splash. Come on now. Anybody? Yes. I'm just picturing you for 3.5 hours just kind of licking your lips. You're like, I'm going to drive 3.5 hours for a bowl of clam chowder. I've never tasted clam chowder that tastes that good. I'd like to go with you on your next trip. I go to El Tarasco a lot, and I only get one thing. It's their Chipotle chicken. It's all I ever get. They don't even hand me a menu. I crave it. About once a week, I just crave it, and so I just feel myself going, where am I going? Oh, I'm going to my favorite Mexican food restaurant. Peter's saying, do you crave God like you would for that clam chowder? Do you crave him like you would if you're just like had no water and you're walking through a desert? Are you thirsting after God? Blessed are those who crave God daily. I want to ask you a favor, and maybe I can get a couple guys to come up here and help me. Can you two gentlemen, if you have a business that you own, or you work somewhere where there's an employee room, and they wouldn't mind you sticking up a poster 11 by 17 in that workroom or in your place of business or in your friend's shop, will you raise your hand up for me? Raise it up high. Will you try to pass all these out while I make a point? Just keep your hand up, and they're going to hand this to you, and here's why. We do this for women's ministry as well, but we have a big man's breakfast coming up on May 2nd. The last big man's breakfast had almost 4,000 men attend. Almost 500 boys and dads and men accepted Jesus Christ for the very first time in their life. I won't get into all the details, but we're going to do it on this campus. We're going to do a breakfast and a lunch on May 2nd. Here's why I'm telling you this. The whole morning is going to be so that men, boys, uncles, dads, grandpas will walk away from this place going like this. Just awe-inspired. I'll get you some later. I'll have to get them later. My printer isn't working up here. Just awe-inspired by God. Do you follow me? We want people craving God. People are going to get saved. People are going to get excited. People are going to get challenged. But ultimately, we want them walking away excited for God. You might say, well, that's kind of intense that you even passed out a poster in church. I would have felt that way 15 years ago. I don't know if anything is intense anymore compared to what I do in my own life. I think we are all one diagnosis away or one little bit of bad news. Follow me. One little bit of bad news away from making the awe of God every single breath and waking moment in our life. One little bit of bad news about one of my children that's pretty serious, and every breath would be the intensity of God in every thought I have in my life. I remember my friend Isaac, who goes here. They took a picture of something in his eye, and they were pretty sure that it had to do with his brain and that it was going to be pretty serious. In fact, he might not even live. And I didn't even know Isaac before we started this church. I really didn't know him that well. I kind of knew him. I knew of him. But someone told me about it. And so I just called him, and it was just a Holy Spirit thing because I didn't really know him. I don't just usually call people I don't really know, and I said, I need to pray for you. And he was, guess what he was doing? He told me he was just walking. He's just every thought, John, is on God. Everything is becoming clear. I'm thinking about God. I'm praying to God. The only thing that matters right now, John, is God. And I'm going, wow, we are all one little bit of news away from knowing that intensity. And then nothing happened. They took another picture, and there was nothing. And I don't know if they just took a bad picture in the first one or if it was, I'm thinking it was God probably, amen. But we're one little bit of news. See, do I even understand the intensity of God? 56,597,000 people a year die. That's 155,000 people every single day. 6,458 people every hour, 107 people every minute, and 2 people every second die. That's the intensity of God. See, because God doesn't call me and you to relax. In fact, 1 Corinthians 9 says, runners run. Isaiah 40, believers fly. Philippians 3, Christians press. Hebrews 12, God, people race. 2 Timothy 4, followers fight. He didn't call me to relax. He didn't call me to build up my 401k, and I hope your 401k is doing good. He didn't call me to get all my kids in the perfect careers and the perfect wives and husbands, and I hope that for them. He called me to be intensely craving and in relationship with Him, devoted to Him more and more daily. 25, chapter 25 of Psalms. Verse 4 is kind of the founding verse for this church. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. God is constantly called the road in the Bible, the path, the way. Somebody said to me, you guys think you're just like the only road? And I'd never dawned on me that anyone would ever look at it that way. He is the road. He's the rock. He's the river. So churches get their names, right? I thought it'd be cool to call it El Camino. You know, we could just, the way, the road. What's interesting about the chapter, though, I never really noticed this part. In verse 12, it says, what happens to the people on the road that fear God, that have the awe of God? It says in verse 12, they will know the path they should choose. In verse 13, they will be a child of Jesus and they will have His favor. In verse 14, it says, those that fear the God, fear God, Lord will be their friend and their teacher. In verse 15, it says, they will be rescued from traps. These are the benefits of making God more and more my devotion. Now let's go back to the chapter. What does this do to unveil? What's the after then? The after is this. The after is better church health and influence. It's better church health and influence. Verse 31 says, and the church became stronger. My significance, our significance, as we were more devoted to Him, builds a church that is healthier and stronger. The word in that verse means this. On the foundation of intense followers, the superstructure of the church rises up in influence, health, number, and quality. Amen? So we start to see how important it is for me to become significant according to God's will. Some people say, well, the church is just supposed to be a hospital. And I say amen to that. Amen. There's people in here this morning, and I know we put on deodorant, we brushed your teeth. Most of you did. I put some gel in my hair, you know. But just behind some of our faces, there are people here this morning that are hurting so bad, the last thing they're going to ever do is tell you about it. And we need to be friends with those people. We need to find them. We need to be a hospital. We need to help the homeless. We need to reach out. But, in addition to, the church is called to be a headquarters of zealous, intense, improving hell kickers, according to Matthew 16. We've talked about that. Super conquerors, according to Romans 8. Trailblazers, according to Isaiah 40. Royal priests in a holy nation, according to 1 Peter 2. Fearless heroes, according to 1 Corinthians 16. Hellfire rescuers, according to Jude 1, 23. We're not just a hospital. Man, we're supposed to be intense for God. I'm going to give you an ironic church influence, because that's what it does. It builds our church influence. An ironic church influence assignment. Amen? Definitely say amen. We have quite amen on that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that means you're going to do it. You just wrote it down and you agreed to it. Look at this. We got something coming up on April 4th. What's April 5th?
Easter.
Easter. Something, and some of you are going to not like me for saying this, that I think is going to be more important than April 5th, is going to be what happens on April 4th. This campus is going to have, hopefully, 500, 600, 700 kids hearing a gospel message. They're also going to get more candy than their parents ever want them to have. The parents aren't going to come back. The kids will come back, and then the parents will have to come back. Here's the assignment I'm asking you to do, and what I say next, I'm really asking. I pray that right now you take a pen or steal one from your neighbor. You got four pens. Four people could come up and take pens. Write a little C. C is in candy. Sorry if you've been teaching your kids not to write on themselves. Write a little C. So everyone right now is grabbing a pen, or they're looking for one, or a crayon, or their lipstick, and they're writing a little C on their hand. And I'd like you to go get 1, 2, or 10 individually wrapped candy, the bags of individually wrapped candy. Any kind. Doesn't matter. Chocolate, hard, whatever. Take that bag or 2 or 10 and pray over it at your home. Just set it there and just pray over it. 1 Corinthians 9 says, reach as many as possible by all means possible. You know what candy does? It brings kids. Me too. And just pray. that a kid would come and he'd pick up some of that candy and he'd come in and we're going to give him a gospel message and lots of kids are going to get saved. And Mark 10 says, man, we should be putting more priority on kids than we should just our Easter service. And I love Easter service. Will you do that? Will you get 1, 2, or 10, or 20 bags of individual? Just run and throw them up on the stage next week. Just throw them. Well, if we remember the buckets or not, just throw them up on stage and pray. Pray that this church would have influence, that we'd reach more children. God is also unveiled when we each take ownership of His Spirit. Now, listen to this. The first thing God did when Jesus came out of the wilderness, He had just defeated Satan. Satan had offered Him the whole world. Jesus wins. He comes out, He goes down, and John the Baptist baptizes Him. And God says, this is My Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then what does He send? He sends the Holy Spirit. Now, God is part of the Trinity. Jesus is part of the Trinity. But what is He showing us? We get the Spirit. The first thing Jesus says, that when we get saved, when we invite Jesus Christ into our heart as Lord and Savior, that we get the Spirit. So 1 Corinthians, actually, let me back up. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But I thought I was going to receive power, you know, when I felt good or when the worship was good. I thought I was going to receive power if a pastor came over and prayed over me. I thought I was going to receive power if I made God happy somehow. And He said, no. The dunamis, that's the word, the dunamis has already been given to you. It's already in you. You know what the word we get in the English from dunamis is? Dynamite. Dynamite. You have dynamite. You have Holy Spirit dynamite in you. You are packed with Holy Spirit power. It's the first thing given to you when you received Jesus Christ. C.T. Studd wrote this, how little a chance the Holy Spirit gets these days because churches have bound Him in red tape that they practically ask Him to sit in a corner while they do all of the works themselves. We forget that we're packed with dynamite, so we do it all based on planning, and we pushed it off, and we think it's all about us. The reason that our theme this year is Radical Momentum for Earth-Shattering Hope, besides the fact that it's in Isaiah 40, is we don't need to slow down. We need to go the speed of God. It doesn't always need to be about a committee that's going to spend 6 months deciding on whether the bathroom should be tan or whether they should be mauve. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work, and sometimes we need to hold on. And in your own personal life, it needs to be that way sometimes too. You use your reason. You use what God's given you. But let the Holy Spirit be dynamite inside of you. I don't know if you know this, but you have transfiguration, Noah's Ark, flood, resurrection, God creation, dynamite inside of you if you know God. You have burning bush, mighty rushing Pentecostal wind, dynamite, according to the Word of God, inside of you, if you know God. You have heavenly, evil-overcoming, water-walking, rapturous dynamite inside of you, if you know God. Anybody want to say amen to that?
Amen.
I know, and sometimes you wake up, and I'm this way too, and you go, I don't feel that way. I certainly don't feel like dunamis. I want to tell you, it's not God's fault. If you don't feel that way, and I'm telling this to myself too, according to Scripture, it's not God's fault. The word Christ means anointed one. If you have the anointed one in you, guess what you are? You're anointed. You won't be Christ. You'll never know like Christ. You're not going to step in and become a God, but you are anointed. You're not waiting for an anointing. We get a little bit interesting with words in our churches sometimes. And there's a place for all of them, by the way. But never forget, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you have the anointed one. You're not anointed. You are part of the anointed. It's bigger than that. Ephesians 3 says this, people can do more than they ask or imagine when they let the Spirit work inside of them. Are you letting the Spirit work? Verse 31, we should have the encouragement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, that word encouragement, in some of your Bibles it says the word comfort. We should have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That is not a good word. It's one of those moments in a Bible where an English word does not fit at all the scope. It's way beyond comfort. It's way beyond encouragement. In fact, this word means we need to be relying on what the Holy Spirit has already given, taught, exhorted, and pointed out. How? Through the prophets, through the scriptures, through Jesus, and through his disciples. I need to then own, what am I owning? I need to own in my life the gospel narrative. That's what it means. Yeah, he's going to comfort you too. He's going to encourage you too. But we don't think about the fact that I have to be owning the alive gospel nature so that I would be filled, that I would experience the filling of the Holy Spirit. Applying these things to my life so that I can be closer to God. I want a light bulb to come on for some of you right here, because it came on for me a little bit this week. In what I read next, I would really pray right now that God would just turn a light bulb on. Check this out. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is synonymous with being filled with the Word in the Bible. They're synonymous. Listen to this. Colossians 3:16. Let the message fill your lives. See the wording there? Let the message fill your lives. To teach and counsel each other with all of the wisdom in it. To sing songs and hymns with thankful hearts. And whatever you say or do, give thanks to God. We can see throughout Scripture that the filling of the Spirit and the filling of the Word both lead to counsel and direction and filling and understanding and love and a thankful heart and a good attitude. So what do I have to do? Part of what I have to do is I need to permeate my life with the guidance of the Holy Spirit that has already been given. John 15:7, if you remain in me, here's the good part, and my words remain in you. What happens, God, if your words remain in me? It says you may ask for anything. You may be dynamite. You may be dynamite if my words are flowing through you, is what it says. And he says, I'll do whatever you ask in the will of God. So part of knowing and owning the Holy Spirit is owning the Word of God. Will you hold up your Bibles for me? Hold up your phones if you use it on your phone. Hold them up. Don't be afraid. It's okay. Hold them up. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you fill yourself with the Word. We talked last Sunday night, if you weren't here, about Cameo, a group from the 80s that sung a song called Word Up. Very unspiritual song. Don't go by the record, okay? This is not a recommendation. But Word Up in the culture, in the hip-hop culture, means true that. It means I agree. It means truth to whatever you just happen to have said. If someone says Word Up, they're saying truth to what you just said. Let me hear you say Word Up.
Word Up.
If you put the Word Up in your life, guess what else you're putting up? The Holy Spirit. I mean, I don't know about you, but there's a little bit of a light bulb there for me in my own life. Let it permeate. Also, you get filled with the Holy Spirit. These are just a couple of the ways. By praying as he leads. If I go back to John 15:7 and I pray as he leads, check this out. If my words remain in you, we just talked about that. Ask means pray. And you will be dynamite. Sunday night, tonight at 6 p.m., we continue the series every Sunday night. Its own message. One of the differences about Sunday night, if you haven't experienced it, let me hear your voice if you've experienced Sunday night. Say something. Say amen. They take out the first three rows. Worship is its own style. It's pretty amazing stuff. And for an extended amount of time before we ever do the sermon, people come up and they just bow down. Some guys are nicknaming it the Freedom Zone. And people are huddling up in prayer 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes. People are kneeling down on the steps and just praying. And you know what happens when you pray? You experience the anointing that is already there. You don't get the anointing. The anointing lives in you. That's what Christ means. You experience it. Letting prayer and the Word of God permeate your life. James 5:16, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great dynamite. That's what it says. What does it unveil? It unveils greater church expansion. Look at verse 31. with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, is it also grew in numbers. Now listen, I'm talking to some people in here that do not like, actually, we've been a church for a year. There's probably not many of you left that don't like the word numbers, but there's some people in the Christian culture. You don't like the word numbers. You don't want to hear about numbers. And I get it. And so I brought a picture in because I could debate it with you and I could show you probably 52 scriptures where Jesus loves numbers. He's got a book called Numbers. I mean, we could go through it all and it gets really boring. But instead, I just want to show you this picture here. And I'm wondering, of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that died, picture yourself making it onto one of the lifeboats. And you got your kids next to you and you made it. And there were still crowds that couldn't fit. And if they jumped in the water, they lasted about 47 seconds or something like that before they started to go unconscious. But you're on the lifeboat and you got your family with you. And you're saying to the crowd, hey, we're good. We're good. Look somewhere else. Because you know what the Bible describes our world as? It's like a ship going down. And there's a day when the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is going to come. He's going to redeem the world for 1,000 years. But right now, it's like a ship. So you might not like the word numbers. And you might be okay with thinking I'm on a life raft. And as long as I got my three little kids and my wife standing next to me, I'm just going to say, I'm good with that. And the fact is, God is not good with that. He's not good at all with it. So sometimes we have to change how we think. We have to think, in fact, a whole new way. I want to reread verse 31. With the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. I want to show you our Easter service banner. It's going to go up Monday. We have 6 services on Easter. There is only one reason pastors decide to have 6 services in one day. There's only one. There's only one reason we decide to put a VIP tent out for every single new guest you bring to get a new, brand new design t-shirt and a brand new design DVD sermon for free. There's only one reason that we put a 3 in front of Easter. Because God cares so much about numbers. It has nothing to do with quality. He loves quality too. It has nothing to do with teaching. He loves teaching too. He just happens to really, really care about numbers. Because we're a ship and it's going down and there's people that are waiting to get on. And I'm wondering, would you bring 3 that are waiting to get on? Let's not make it about our walls. Short, fast, powerful services. Free sausages and pancakes, because half of you are going to forget when to come. You're just going to show up, and there's going to be all these services going off, and we're going to say, guess what? Go eat some free sausages and pancakes out on the front of the property. You know why? Because God cares about numbers. He wants to build his church. It started in Matthew 16 and all the way into 2015 with us. Acts 1:8 said he wants to reach the ends of the earth. Matthew 28 says he wants to reach all nations. Isaiah 49:6. Here's a real good one. Watch this. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and bring back the preserved of Israel. It's too small of a thing just to reach your own. That's what he's saying. It's too small. He's more interested in just who you could fit in your own life preserver. And then he goes on to say this. I will make you as a light for all the nations that my salvation may reach to where? To the ends of the earth. He's super excited about numbers. One more I want to share with you. Psalm 67. This is a good one. May God be gracious that your way may be known among all the nations. What is the way of us at the road? Is the way of us at the road church to be known among all the nations? Or are we cool with having our walls down, our worship in our pockets, and our boat is full? Anybody okay with that? No. I don't want to be okay with it either. It's powerful stuff. I want to show you a quick video. Now, there's a group in Holland, and I got all mixed up about Holland. I'm like, Holland, Netherlands, Friesland. It turns out Holland's down here, Friesland's up here, and the Netherlands is all wrapped around it somehow. I don't know. We got a group that follows us every single week, every single message, and they have a connection back to Visalia. And so I just asked them, I said, through a text, would you send us a quick video?
Hello, church. Good morning. You don't know me, but I think that I do know you. My name is Tom Leenstra, and I'm related to Karen de Groot here in Visalia. My family and I, we are living in the Netherlands in Europe. Karen and her late husband John have introduced us to Crossroads and of course later on to The Road. Since that time, I've been following this church through social media and through the internet. Every Sunday morning, I'm tuning in on the website to watch and listen to the next sermon. Why The Road? Easy. Sermons are powerful, inspiring, interesting, but also amusing. Is distance then a problem for me? No. I think that his message reaches out over continents. And as I travel a lot through Europe for my work, I always have my church with me. So don't forget, we are all on the road. Your road, my road, but above all, his road. And God blesses us for spreading out his message.
You guys are reaching Holland. Maybe it should have just been California. Anybody think maybe we should just reach Holland? Every week, families sit around and watch what you guys are doing. Because we're a body. That's powerful stuff. Because God cares about numbers. I'm pretty sure he cares about Holland. God's kingdom is unveiled when I stay in constant ministry motion, also according to Scripture. Do you know there's no such word in the Bible of volunteer? You're never called a volunteer. You're called uglier things than that that really mean more. You're called like ligament. I think I'd rather be called volunteer. But you're called ligament. You're called branch. One morning we all said good morning branch to each other. I don't know if you remember that many months ago. You're called branch. You're called peace. You're called part. You're called son. You're called daughter. You're called priest. You're called ambassador. You're called missionary. You are never called volunteer in the Bible. If you visit another church, and we hope you visit another church at least once in a while, and they yell out for volunteers, I just dare you to yell back and say, there's no such thing as volunteers in the Bible, Pastor. Let me just tell you. You should be asking for ligaments. See, it's not something we do if somebody just happens to ask us to do it. Verse 32, it says, Peter traveled from place to place. He came down to visit believers in the town of Lydda as well. It's a constant movement. It's being active. It's not waiting for a season to be active or wondering if I should do. And sometimes we pray and we're asking for the voice of God. And we're praying, we're asking for the voice of God. You know what he's saying? I already told you my voice through my Holy Spirit and the Word. I told you to start moving in ministry. He's not so much concerned where. Because we found out in Psalm 25, then what is he going to do? He's going to show you the path. If I am what? In motion. If I'm moving. God moves people who are moving. I'm going to prove it to you in just a second. He moves people that are moving. There's way too many talented Christians who have been in ministry before. They were part of this church and did that. And they think, because I know, because I was one of them for like 30 years, that they could sit on the outskirts, kind of, sorry to all of you sitting on the outsides, but you know, picture-wise, they can kind of sit on the outside. I don't have to mix it up in the middle. I don't really have to become close friends with anybody. I don't have to kind of be in the mix. I can kind of sit off to the side, and I'm going to wait because I'm talented, and I know God will use me, and I know I'm called, and I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to wait, but I don't have to mix it up. As if God is running around looking to give out his best ministries to people that are covered in mold. I know that sounds harsh. But he's not running around looking for the rusty Christian who won't get off their chair. Scripture says he's actually running around looking for the ones who are already in motion. They're already active. They're already moving. John 15:1, he prunes the branches that do bear fruit. These are the people that are moving. What are you already doing? You're bearing fruit. You're already doing stuff so that they will produce more fruit. If you want to be significant, jump in the water. The shallow end or the deep end? I don't know. How good of a swimmer are you? Just jump in. You'll probably float to the deep end eventually anyways. Just jump in. What am I supposed to do, God? Start moving. Which ministry? Who cares? He didn't walk up on anything in the Bible ever. I don't see it one time in the Bible walk up and go, no, I don't think that one's for me. Good luck with your eyesight. Did he ever do that? Oh, you guys got smelly feet? Nasty, gross? I don't think so. I never learned how to wash feet. Good luck with that. No, he jumped in. He jumped in. Let's be significant. Genesis 24:5, a quick paraphrase. I'm going to do a real quick paraphrase. Abraham asked a servant to go get a wife for his son, Isaac, thank you. Any of you guys already picking out the spouse for your kid? Yeah, come on, admit it, you are. I've never picked a servant to do it. I don't have any servants, but he picks a servant, and the servant says right in the middle, what if I don't find her? I don't even know where I'm going. He said, just head to my homeland. And the scripture says he starts packing his camels, having no idea exactly where he's going or who he's going to, and he starts moving. And then there's this final verse, and I'm going to read it from the KJV, which I don't do very often. It says, here's the servant, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Praise the Lord for helping me find. Because why? He was in the way. He was in motion. Get in the way of God and watch what he does. He'll start sending you right where he wants you to go. If you're third, or let me say it this way. If God is third or fourth on your list, I can almost guarantee you you're third or fourth on his list when it comes to ministry significance. I'm not talking about your place with Christ. If he's 25th on your list, I can pretty much say you're probably 25th on his list. The Bible says, if you're faithful over a little, he will make you Lord over a lot. If you're moving a little, he's going to get you moving a lot. Now, ministry motion unveils my Father's glory. If I go back to John 15:8, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to God. Here's the question before we pray. How does your before and your after look? How is your before and your after looking? Is there any before? Is there any work going into the project? Are you taking the significance and putting it to use so that the after, the unveiling of the glory of God could be more powerful? What are you doing? There's really, really ugly before and afters. I skipped one, so let me show it to you. That's Snooki, I guess. And I didn't see the show, but in the morning she looks like that on the left. And then there's really, really beautiful, really, really beautiful before and after. So this was the very first daddy-daughter dance years ago that I took my daughter on a date. And then here's the one we just went on Friday. And you know, I know it's not fair that I get to share my pictures, but I really do have a good point before we pray. Plus I'm proud. A lot of those reality shows, the weight comes back immediately. The marriage does not last. Wall Street Journal wrote articles about the fact that the people who got all those houses, a lot of the people who got the free houses built for them, lost them within 2 years. See, a lot of what goes on in the world that we invest in, the after isn't good. But he promises you, if you'll invest in his kingdom, and he also kind of shows you with these little beautiful, you know, points in life, there's things that moth and rust cannot destroy. And that's what we want to do as a church. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. God, we thank you for this chance to come before you. We thank you for the chance that you're good. You're good. You're good. You're good. Father, we thank you for a chance that we might be more significant, that the superstructure of the church would rise up right off the ground and be dynamite for the world. Before we say amen this morning, I'm going to bet with this big of a crowd, there's someone in here this morning that's saying, I don't even know if I know the Lord. I don't get this dynamite. I'm going to share something really good as we finish up. The Bible says to that person, you're sitting there and you're not sure about God, there's never going to come a day in your life ever where God is going to say, you did good enough to be into heaven. There's never a place in the Bible where it says Peter or somebody's going to be waiting at the gate for you to ask you what you did. In fact, the Bible says, if you want the dynamite of the Holy Spirit, you want a relationship with Jesus, you want to know God, he says good people don't go to heaven and bad people aren't kept out of heaven. He says only forgiven people will know the face of God. It doesn't have to do with how good you are or how bad you are. The Bible says it has to do with you turning to Jesus and calling him into your life and inviting his sacrifice to cover all of your sin. And you say to yourself, that sounds too easy. It's not. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit then comes into your life and you start to become powerful for God. If that's you this morning, I'm going to pray. Invite him in. Give up on yourself. Turn away from your sin. Stop thinking you're not good enough because he says, I already know. That's why I sent my son. Confess him. I'm going to pray. Maybe it sounds like this in the quiet of your heart. Just mean business with God. Dear Lord, I'm inviting you to be my Savior right now. Dear Lord, I'm glad it's not about me. Dear Lord, I'm glad that it's not about my works because I couldn't figure it out. So I'm being obedient. I'm confessing you as Savior. I'm agreeing that I am a sinner. I believe that you rose again from the dead to prove that I will have eternal life with you. I'm answering your knock at the door, Father. I'm calling you into my life. Listen, all of our eyes are closed right now. I'm not going to invite you forward, but I'd like to see if you invited Jesus Christ in your heart. Just me. Raise it up so I can see it. Everybody else's eyes are closed. Raise it up nice and high. Praise God. Raise it up nice and high. Don't be afraid. A lot of hands just went up. Lord, we thank you for the best gift of all, the best dynamite that you have to offer, that you would save some even this morning, that you would expand your kingdom even this morning. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.